comment here as someone who does not have a real tradition, doesn't come from that. I've come in and seen over the years that I find that people who have that tradition don't value and don't dig to find out why we believe what we believe. Why do we do what we do? So I really feel, as we were saying all along, that's really critical for each of us to get into the Word of God and to know why we do what we do. I'm not going to do it just because Brother X, Y, or Z says to do it. I want to see it from the Scriptures. And that's one of the things that I've seen. That I want to see it from the Word of God. Why are we doing this? I'm not being insubordinate. I just want to know why we do it this way. I'm not going to just do it because you say we should do it this way. I want to know why. Show me from the Scriptures. And I've taught family. I don't care who the person is. If what you are saying is not consistent with the Word of God, I don't care who you are. You're not right. Too often, just because brother so-and-so says it means it's true, brother has to show me from the Scriptures what it really means.
Three quick illustrations. One is the example of Ruth, who obviously is a sister. But do you remember when they came back, Naomi and Ruth came back into the land, and Naomi came back in the end of Ruth chapter 1 saying how bitter her soul was and how the Lord had dealt with her very bitterly. And Ruth chapter 2 starts out with Ruth saying, "Let me go out and find something to eat. Let me go out and glean something." And when Ruth comes back, having met Boaz, Naomi says, "Well, blessed be the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead." And suddenly, Naomi gets to be actively involved in the situation as well. I just take that as an application for what we're talking about regarding, we'll say, the younger generation. That is that it took Ruth in that context to say, "Well, you're just sitting around here, Naomi. You've had a hard time here. I understand that. I'm going to go see what the Lord lets me do. I'm going to go try to find out something that he's going to provide for us." And when she did, her energy, we might say, stirred up Naomi so that Naomi was also part of that and could bring very important guidance to Ruth as well. A second example is Elijah. And I was thinking of the time of discouragement where he said, he's talking to the Lord, saying, "Let me die. I'm not any better than my fathers." And while on the one hand, what Mark, you were mentioning, is very true, that the Lord will help us do things that have not been done. At the same time, I would say, I know you would agree with this too, that let's not set goals for ourselves that I have to live up to, somebody else. Where Elijah, evidently, that's the first time we read of it, but evidently Elijah had in his mind, "I've got to be better than the generations before me. I've got to do something better than what they did, because look at how all they failed." Don't make those the goals for ourselves. We want to follow the Lord, and let's just follow the Lord and do what he gives us to do and not set up that goal of comparing ourselves with others, especially maybe past generations in that context. And then the third is related in Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul reminds or mentions the heritage that Timothy had. Your grandmother, your mother, you grew up hearing the Scriptures. And so I remind you, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6, to stir up the gift of God which is in you. And this idea of stirring up, I always find it interesting that it's in 2 Timothy that Paul has to say that to him. In 1 Timothy, there is a lot of activity. Timothy is warning these, and he's teaching these, and he's being careful not to be involved with this, and he's showing good example and pattern of Christian godly living. But in 2 Timothy, it's almost like he's gotten worn out. And Paul is much more pastoral in 2 Timothy for Timothy himself. And this is how he opens this letter. Stir up the gift. Don't get discouraged. Don't be ashamed, verse 8, of the testimony of the Lord or of me. And so on. So these things are illustrations for us because they're very relevant for us to use the energy that God has given us, like Ruth, and not set unrealistic goals for ourselves, like in the case of Elijah, and to stir up. There's times where we perhaps relax in the service of the Lord, but stir it up. The Lord wants us to stir it up. Paul wrote to, in the letter to the Colossians, he told somebody else to talk to a brother named Archippus. And he said, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that the Lord has given you, that you fulfill it. Carry out what God wants you to do. Just get back into it. Keep going.
I'd just like maybe to say a word on the opposite side of what we've been saying. Not that I disagree with anything that's been said. But we don't want anyone to go away from here thinking, okay, now I'm going to branch out, forget the old brothers, and I'm just going to do my own thing. That's not what we're saying. Okay. Just put that on tape. Because there's great value in our older brothers. There's much teaching there. And here's the encouragement for all of us as younger brothers. You know, Paul said to, I think it's Corinth, he said that you have many instructors and yet few fathers. And that's really what's needed amongst us. If you can find a father, a spiritual father. He wrote to those at Thessalonica and he said, I come to you as a nursing mother. And then he says, I exhort you as a father. If you can find a spiritual father, man, I tell you, it will help you. As a young brother, I can look back in my life and I can tell you that at different stages I had different spiritual fathers. Even right now, I have a spiritual father right now who I am accountable to, and I think accountability is very important. Mark's already touched on it. Ultimate accountability to the Lord. But how good if you can find a spiritual father. And just an example of this for us. Going to, not Elijah, but Elisha. Remember in the days of Elisha, and I think it's in chapter 6, when 2 Kings, when Elisha, it says that the young men, the sons of the prophets, it says, that they said, listen, this place is too far, too small for us. They had a vision, and they wanted to build something new. They had a vision. And how good it is that for young men to have a vision. But there's wisdom in our older brothers. Mm-hmm. And I just want to underline this for us. There's wisdom in our older brothers. And so what they did in their zeal and energy, which is where what young men have, they went and said to Elisha, would you come along with us? Here's our vision. This is what we're going to do. Would you come along with us? And as a result, there's a young man. We know the story. There's a young brother. He's working away, you know, with the axe head. And all of a sudden, the axe head falls off and goes into the water. He doesn't know what to do. And he says, alas, master, it was borrowed. And Elisha, an older brother, said, here's what we do in this situation. That's what our older brother in. That's where they can come in and help us. So we don't want to discount them. I just want to throw out that the other side of what we're saying is that it's very valuable to have brothers that we can confide in, that we can talk with, that we can help and strengthen us. So just take that as a word to balance the other side of the issue.
I just have a verse to go along with this in 2 Timothy chapter 3.
2 Timothy chapter 3, it's a verse that came a lot to me lately, but continue thou, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And a lot of times we underestimate what the source of what we're reading is or who is speaking, but if you look at somebody who wrote something and their life is not really very reflective of what they're writing, that's a good sign to stay away from them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I encourage myself and encourage others, if you know something is tested and true, why don't I spend my time following after that instead of going after things that are not really yet proven? This is the book of 2 Timothy, not 1 Timothy. And 2 Timothy, as it were, the day of small things, or there's more that has come into the church. And that's why we need even more to be more careful, because there's a lot more today that's out there under the Christian circle that could be very corrupting to us.